Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into something really interesting, maybe unsettling too. We're looking at beauty standards, stereotypes, and how they really impact women, especially at work. And for this deep dive, we've got some fascinating source material. It's mainly centered around a case study presentation looking at Dove's hashtag beauty bias campaign. But what's great is this case study also pulls in two other key readings, one on stereotypes, what they are, how they work, and another on the history of the quote-unquote normal body.
Yeah, and our goal here really is to unpack all that. We want to dig into the societal pressures, understand where our ideas of normal even came from, historically speaking, and then connect those dots, to see how these really deep-seated ideas affect everything, perceptions, job opportunities, even how people feel about themselves. It's bigger than just ads. It's sort of woven into how we see success itself.
Okay, so let's start with that Dove hashtag beauty bias campaign then, because it really gives a snapshot of what women are up against right now.
The basic setup is a Dove representative talking to women, just random women on the street, about beauty standards and, how it affects their lives.
And the ad, it kicks off straight away listing these ideals, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It lists the perfect height, the perfect body type, the perfect hair, and the perfect skin tone. Just lays it right out there, the pressure.
And what really stood out for me anyway, watching the video, was how pretty much all the women linked success or, not getting success directly to how they look. One woman just flat out says it. Physical appearance is more important for women than for men when you're talking about success.
And they gave specific examples too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Really stark ones. One woman talked about being in a professional meeting and feeling like people were analyzing her looks more than listening to what she knew. Another said her boss actually told her he knew he was going to hire her just based on her appearance.
Seriously, that's And maybe the most direct example was a woman wearing a hijab. She said she was denied a job specifically because of how she looked. It makes it so clear, fitting society's ideal can open doors.
And not fitting slams them shut.
Exactly. Slams them shut.
It really shows how deep this runs. But the case study pointed out something else I thought was really interesting, the contrast in Dove's own marketing.
Right, the difference between the men's and women's campaign.
For women, it's all about beauty standards, self-image, like we're discussing. But the campaigns for men, they focus on stuff like strength, being a good dad.
Completely different angle.
And here was the real, aha moment for me. They asked the women in the beauty bias video to describe a professional
What did
woman.
they say?
Get this. They only listed things about appearance, height, hair, clothes, not one mention of intelligence, skills, how she acts, nothing like that.
Just appearance.
Just appearance. It hammers home that point, doesn't it? That in our society, looks are seen as incredibly important for a woman's success.
That observation, linking professionalism only to looks for women, it just begs the question, what exactly is a stereotype? How do these things actually work? And this is where that reading, The Role of Stereotypes by Richard Dyer, comes in. He draws a lot on Walter Lippmann's work. And here's something that genuinely surprised me, and I think surprises a lot of people. Lippmann, the guy who invented the word stereotype, he never actually meant it to be negative.
Wait, what? Really? Stereotype wasn't negative. That's hard to wrap my head around because now it feels almost exclusively
I
negative.
know, right? It's fascinating how word meanings shift. Lippmann saw stereotypes primarily as an ordering process, like a way to make sense of a complex world.
Okay, like organizing information.
Exactly. A way of putting in order the flood of information we get. He acknowledged its partial knowledge, but didn't think that made it automatically false. He called it a shortcut to simplify
A
meaning.
shortcut.
No.
Okay.
And he also saw it as a way of referring to the world, a kind of projection onto the world, shaped a lot by how characters are shown in, media, stories, that kind of thing. And crucially, he said stereotypes express our values and beliefs, the things a society generally agrees on about a group. They only really stick if there's consensus on the underlying ideas.
So they reflect shared beliefs.
Yes, but here's the really critical part. Lippmann argued stereotypes reflect ideologies about how power is distributed in society. Not necessarily objective reality, but the reality according to the power structures.
Okay, so linking that back to the Dove campaign, it's not just that the media shows perfection all the time, the perfect height, body, whatever.
Right.
It's that this image reinforces a stereotype that serves a specific societal idea, one that ties a woman's appearance to her value, her chances.
Precisely. The case study nails this when it mentions the stereotype that women who are considered attractive do better in job interviews.
Mm.
I mean, that implies looks matter more than skills. Even for a job interview that's supposed to be about skills. It's a perfect example of Lippmann's point about power and ideology, not just reality.
Okay, so this isn't just a modern media problem then.
Not at all. And that's where the second reading really sheds some light. The Normal Body on Display by Elizabeth Stevens.
Oh.
It talks about these statues, Norma and Norman, from back in 1945.
Norma and Norman. Okay, tell me about them.
Well, they were created based on statistical averages from large surveys of white men and women at the time.
Right.
And their explicit purpose, believe it or not, was to help the ready-to-wear fashion industry by defining the normal body type, creating a standard.
Wow. So they basically invented a standard normal body for fashion. And the word normal wasn't even common like that before.
Exactly. Before then, normal was mostly used in science, math. These statues helped make normal a mainstream concept for bodies. It's actually kind of shocking when you think about it.
It really is.
And Stevens argues this kicked off this whole trend, which is still going strong, of companies selling products to, you know, fight aging, improve your looks.
Yeah.
Basically playing on insecurity.
Right.
To make people feel they need these things to be professional or hireable.
Mm-hmm. Targeting insecurity.
Totally. And get this, there was a Norma look-alike contest. The winner was described as representing the true melting pot of America.
Okay.
But Norma herself, the statue, was designed based on the physique needed for daily tasks, like pounding a typewriter to milking a cow to washing dishes. Pretty standard stuff.
No.
Norman, though, he was modeled on military guys with exceptional physiques.
Ah, so already a difference there.
A big difference. But the key takeaway is that both Norma and Norman, even the average Norma, were already way above the actual average American physique at the time.
So the normal they created was actually aspirational or even unattainable from the start.
Exactly. They set this idealized standard, passed it off as normal, and it's stuck around ever since.
This whole deep dive, it just really lays it bare, doesn't it? How beauty standards function as this really pervasive bias, especially in professional contexts.
Mm-hmm.
These harmful stereotypes seem to revolve around this core idea that for women to be taken seriously at work, they need to fit some kind of physical mold, some idea of perfection.
Yep.
And learning about Norma and Norman just shows this isn't new. It's been like manufactured and pushed for decades.
It really has. And the core thesis that emerges is pretty stark, unfortunately.
Mm.
It's that women often find their careers limited by physical traits, not by their actual skills or capabilities.
Yeah.
Like that woman in the Dove ad said so simply, people do get judged, unfortunately, on the way they look, and everybody knows that.
And yet, even though everybody knows that, it feels like, well, not much concrete progress has been made to really dismantle these stereotypes systemically, you know?
It's a slow process.
Maybe more representation in media helps. Campaigns like the Dove one definitely bring attention to it, which has to be good.
Attention is definitely crucial. But thinking about Lippmann again.
Hmm.
It leaves us with maybe a challenging thought for you, the listener.
Okay.
If stereotypes, like Lippmann said, aren't just random ideas, but actually reflect these deep societal ideologies, these power structures, and if they function as these mental shortcuts, do you think stereotypes about specific groups can ever be truly reversed in society? Or is the fact that they are shortcuts mean they're just incredibly hard to shake? Something to think about.